Welcome to From Trauma to True Love, the podcast where we break the cycle of painful relationships and build deep, lasting love you can trust. I'm Layla Reyes, a relationship coach, speaker, and author of Freedom from Shame, Trauma, Forgiveness, and Healing from Sexual Abuse. I'm here to help you release the invisible wounds from your past that may be holding you back from the love you truly desire. In each episode, we'll uncover the hidden patterns shaped by early childhood trauma, explore how they impact your relationships today, and guide you toward creating the partnership you were born to have. Whether you're looking to attract the one, deepen an existing connection, or finally feel safe in love, this is a space to discover what's possible. Let's dive into your journey from trauma to love. Welcome. I'm Layla Reyes, author of Freedom from Shame, Trauma, Forgiveness, and Healing from Sexual Abuse. As a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, I know firsthand how trauma, early trauma, can affect the way that we connect with ourselves and others. For many years, my relationships were shaped by the impact of that abuse, making it hard to experience the love and connection that I longed for. But healing is possible. And today, I help people break free from these patterns to create the healthy, nourishing relationships that are our birthright. This is season one of From Trauma to True Love, and the topic is healing the impact of childhood sexual abuse or early trauma on our adult relationships. Today, I want to have a deep, honest conversation about how our early childhood sexual abuse, along with other childhood traumas, affects the way that we relate to ourselves and to others in adulthood. For many of us who have childhood sexual abuse in our histories, the impact runs deeper than we might realize, showing up in how we trust, in how we connect, and how we love in our relationships. It's my hope that through this episode, you'll recognize any patterns that might be holding you back and learn steps to begin freeing yourself from the impact of the past, which might include getting some support for your journey. I'm here if you feel that I could be one of your guides along the way. And healing is possible. I know this because I've lived it. And I work with women who are learning to create healthy, authentic relationships, starting with themselves. I want to talk a little bit about the lasting impact of childhood sexual abuse on our relationships, because early trauma doesn't just leave emotional scars, it influences how we connect with ourselves and others. So if you have a history of childhood sexual abuse or trauma, you may have noticed how it shapes your sense of worthiness or trust or emotional safety. And in working with survivors, I've seen that the impact of this abuse often shows up in three very important ways in relationships. So the first way that it shapes our adult relationships is through a fear of vulnerability and emotional intimacy. So there is a real struggle to be emotionally available. Survivors of childhood sexual abuse often learn early in life that emotional closeness equals danger or betrayal. I know that that was true for me. The people who were supposed to protect us, parents, siblings, or trusted adults either failed to do so or were the perpetrators of that abuse. This betrayal leaves survivors suspicious of getting close to others, fearing that being vulnerable could lead to more pain. Survivors may put up emotional walls in relationships, appearing distant or self-reliant. That's a big one right there, self-reliant. So even when we crave connection and support, so this self-protective behavior is a survival mechanism, but over time it can isolate us from the emotional intimacy that we desire. So an example is just imagine wanting a loving relationship, but every time someone gets close, your mind tells you, if I let them see the real me, they'll leave, or worse, they'll hurt me. This internal conflict can cause survivors to avoid vulnerability altogether, leaving them feeling lonely even when they're in a committed relationship. There's also a fear of abandonment, and there can be a hypervigilance to that. So many survivors might experience this type of anxiety around abandonment and become really concerned about losing that relationship. They might even consider monitoring their partner's behavior, getting worried that the relationship could end at any moment. This is often tied to early attachment wounds and experiences where love and safety were inconsistent or conditional. So the fears that are involved here can lead to clinginess, over-apologizing, or people-pleasing to avoid rejection, which can feel emotionally exhausting for both the survivor and their partner. Well, this is an experience that I know way too well. My fear of abandonment was so debilitating that I didn't know how to ask for what I wanted or even to have an opinion that differed from my partner. On the other side of it, then I would push people away or do things that gave them pretty good reason to leave. So whether we put up walls or cling too tightly, fear of vulnerability is often at the root. It's not because we don't want love, but because deep down we've learned that love can hurt. These relational patterns are deeply connected to what the CDC's research on ACEs, so the acronym is ACEs. The research that it has revealed is that the more trauma we experience as children, the more likely we are to struggle with connection, trust, and emotional regulation as adults. It doesn't really have to be this way. I've helped so many people dissolve the fear around vulnerability enough to let their courage come through and show up, and then they start to show up as their true selves. What they discover often surprises them. They find out that they're loved for who they are. Can you imagine that? They find out how attractive vulnerability truly is. So don't give up hope for a truly connected relationship. It is available to you. Might take a little bit of work and some risks around that fear, but it's totally available to you. So let's look at how to recognize the signs that your relationships are affected by childhood sexual abuse. It's not always obvious that the trauma we experienced in childhood is influencing our adult relationships. Often we think that if we've put the past behind us, then it can't be affecting us now. But the truth is, unresolved trauma has a way of showing up, especially in how we relate to ourselves and others. I know I've said that. I'll say it again and again because it's a really important aspect of what I'm wanting you to get here. So let's look at some of the common signs that your relationships might be impacted by that early trauma. Do you feel unworthy of love or affection? What this might feel like is you could have an underlying belief that there's something fundamentally wrong with you or that you don't deserve to be loved just as you are. And this can lead to downplaying your achievements or positive qualities as though love or affection are things that you need to constantly earn. Even when someone expresses care or admiration, you could dismiss it or feel uncomfortable thinking to yourself, if they really knew me, they wouldn't love me. So the way that this plays out in relationships is that you might tolerate unhealthy or one-sided relationships because you believe on some level that this is the best that you can hope for. You might struggle to receive compliments or kindness from a partner, feeling suspicious or even undeserving of positive attention. This sense of unworthiness can also manifest as people-pleasing, where you focus entirely on your partner's needs while ignoring your own. Another area is attracting emotionally unavailable partners. This is very common. What it feels like is that that's in this pattern of choosing partners who are distant, maybe they're critical or they're emotionally inconsistent. And you might feel drawn to people who keep you guessing or never fully commit, even though it leaves you feeling lonely or uncertain and not being able to really disconnect from that then. This attraction to unavailable partners reflects a familiar dynamic from childhood. A time when love was conditional or withheld. The unconscious hope is that this time you can win the affection that was missing in your past. So really, really can it can be very disconcerting for sure. Some of the ways that this might play out in relationships is that you could stay in relationships a lot longer than you really know that you should stay. That's good for you. Hoping that your partner will change or finally become emotionally available to you. When partners don't meet your emotional needs, maybe you blame yourself. You might be even be thinking, if I were different, maybe they'd love me more. Another area is another way you can identify this is if you struggle to trust people, even when they show you that you care, that they care. What this can feel like is even when someone is showing genuine love and care, you might feel this persistent sense of doubt or suspicion. Like it's hard to believe that someone's intentions are pure. So you might even look for hidden motives or even signs of betrayal. And this lack of trust comes from early experiences of betrayal where caregivers or loved ones were not emotionally safe or protective. The way that this plays out in relationships is that you could find yourself constantly testing your partner's commitment, looking for evidence that they'll leave or betray you, or you might even like push them in a way or do things to sabotage the relationship so that they will leave you, so that you can be right about it. So what this can lead to is emotional distance where you block parts of yourself, or you hold back parts of yourself out of fear that if you were fully seen, just being fully seen will lead to that rejection. So there's also a little dichotomy here where you could avoid emotional intimacy or become clingy in relationships. So the way what this could feel like is that some survivors you know protect themselves by avoiding that emotional closeness. And the belief underneath that is that intimacy only leads to pain. You might feel safer keeping people at a distance, even though it leaves you feeling lonely. On the other hand, some survivors respond to early trauma by becoming emotionally dependent in relationships, afraid of being abandoned. So you might seek constant reassurance from your partner or feel anxious when they aren't physically or emotionally present with you. And how this would play out in relationships is if you tend to avoid intimacy, you might withdraw emotionally whenever someone tries to connect with you. And you could dismiss the relationship before it gets too close. So you leave before, so it's you're not available either because you leave before it gets too intimate. Too connected. And on the other side of it, if you become clingy, you might find yourself seeking constant validation from your partner, which could really end up feeling overwhelming for both of you. Another area, is that you could feel ashamed of expressing your needs or desires. I even hear of people not knowing what their needs are, and I've had that experience, like I've completely abandoned my own needs. A lot of survivors of early trauma often struggle with expressing their needs because they were taught explicitly or implicitly that their needs didn't matter. So you might feel embarrassed or guilty for wanting things, whether it's emotional support, physical affection, or even time for yourself. Can't even take time for yourself. There can also be sexual shame where expressing your desires feels uncomfortable or wrong. And again, that stems from the trauma around your body and boundaries. Some of the ways that this can play out in relationships is that you might avoid asking for what you need from a partner, worrying that it will make you seem too needy or difficult to, just like you're too much in a way, too difficult. Over time, this can actually lead to resentment because your unmet needs start to accumulate and not get met. So in more intimate situations, you could feel disconnected from your own body. or avoid certain aspects of physical intimacy altogether. So you can, here's another area is you can find yourself repeating unhealthy patterns, even though you desperately want change. And what this feels like is one of the most, it's actually one of the most frustrating aspects of trauma is that when you, even when you know what's wrong, what's in the way, you still feel stuck. So you might find yourself just repeating the same unhealthy patterns. And one very common one is choosing unavailable partners. So you know, like, why does this keep happening to me? You might be thinking, well, here it is, it's the pattern. You might avoid intimacy or doubt your worth despite wanting something different. So this happens because trauma patterns become ingrained in our nervous system, making it really hard to break the cycle without intentional healing work. Some of the ways it could play out in relationships is you might feel as though you're attracting that same kind of partner over and over, even when you are so consciously, desperately trying to choose differently. Each time a relationship fails, it can reinforce your belief that you're destined to experience those same painful outcomes, and then that makes it harder to hold on to hope for change. If you recognize any of these signs in yourself, please know that you're not alone. I can look at everything that I've just shared on one level or another and say that I've had all of these experiences in my adult relationships and I'm not having those anymore. So, but the signs were all there, painfully there. I'm painfully aware of them. But what I want you to know about this is that these patterns are not a reflection of who you are. They're a reflection of what you've been through. And healing begins with awareness. When we understand how the past is influencing our presence, then we can start taking intentional steps to break free from the patterns and create the relationships that we want. So, in this next section, I want to dive into share a couple practical steps that you can take to begin healing these patterns and building healthier relationships. And I want you to know that it's never too late to reclaim your story, your relationships, and your life. So let's look at how to begin breaking free from the impact of abuse. So if you've noticed that your past trauma is showing up in your relationships, I want you to know that healing is absolutely possible. Breaking free from the impact of early trauma begins with awareness, and from there, we take intentional steps towards change. So it's a process and it takes time, but every single step that you take towards self-awareness and growth creates new possibilities for deeper connection with yourself and with others. So here are some practical steps that you can start taking today to begin shifting those patterns and start building healthier relationships. The first one is to build self-compassion. Self-compassion is about treating yourself with the same kindness, the same patience, and the same forgiveness that you would offer a dear friend. Survivors of childhood sexual abuse often live with a relentless inner critic that magnifies every mistake and dismisses every success. So, to practice compassion for yourself involves learning to recognize those critical thoughts and replacing them with affirming gentle ones. So, here's a practice that you can do every single day. And again, since awareness is what you need, practicing this will start to build your awareness. Okay? So, to begin with, you start noticing your self-talk. Notice what the phrases or words that you use when things go wrong and write them down. And then you're going to replace them with kinder alternatives. For example, if your inner critic says, "I always mess up," Just notice that, write it down. Here's that message that is repetitive that you hear many times throughout the day. And then just say, remind yourself in that moment, I did my best today, and that's enough for now. I did my best, and that's enough for now. And you just, as soon as that I always mess up, or whatever the negative, whatever that inner critic is saying, you just say, all right, stop, and tell yourself what's actually true, that you did do your best, or it's absolutely enough in this moment. So you can use daily affirmations to remind yourself. For example, I'm worthy of love and healing. Now, even if it doesn't feel true at first, repeating these words will help to retrain your brain to believe in your inherent worth. And I want to say something else about this, though, because you can't just feel unworthy of love and then use this affirmation and say, I'm worthy of love, right? It doesn't just happen as quickly as that, or this affirmation doesn't just make all the feeling of unworthiness go away. But what you're doing is you're actually, I would add one word in there actually. I would say I'm inherently worthy of love and healing, because that's actually more true than being unworthy or even being worthy. Your inherent worth is what we're talking about. Inherent worth is what you were born with, and nothing that can happen to you, nothing that you can do can take away your inherent worth. Inherent means it's part of who you are, and so it will be always be part of who you are. So let's start retraining your brain to believe in your inherent worthiness and inherent worth. So healing begins when we meet ourselves with compassion. You are not defined by your mistakes or trauma, and you are worthy of love simply because you exist. I'm going to say this again. It's a really important insight here. Healing begins when we meet ourselves with compassion, and you are not defined by your mistakes or trauma. You are inherently worthy of love simply because you exist. Now let's look a little bit at identifying patterns and triggers. And from that perspective, this is awareness is so incredibly powerful. The patterns that we play out in our relationships often become so familiar that we don't even notice them. So identifying these patterns is the first step in changing them. And early trauma can leave survivors with emotional triggers, situations that provoke anxiety, withdrawal, or self-doubt, and they may seem completely and totally unrelated to the past, but they're way more related than you could even ever imagine. So to uncover patterns, I really believe that journaling can be a very powerful tool for gaining this type of awareness and clarity. So you want to take time to reflect on your relationships. Are there recurring situations where you feel overwhelmed, anxious, or disconnected? So write about the emotions that come up and the thoughts that accompany them. And all you're doing, you're not fixing anything, you're not making it right or wrong. You're just writing down what is there. And so ask yourself these questions. What am I afraid of in this moment? What need isn't being met? Do I notice this pattern with different people or just certain relationships? So I'll repeat these questions again. What am I afraid of in this moment? What need isn't being met? And do I notice this pattern with different people or just certain relationships? So one of the main insights around this, around identifying patterns and triggers and becoming more aware, is that when we name the patterns and triggers, then we can begin to make conscious choices about how to respond differently. So I recognize that this is just This is really just a first step in bringing more awareness to it. Choice, conscious choices, then follow that. But for now, what you're doing to be on this journey and to become aware of it is simply that, becoming aware of the patterns and triggers. The next area is really about learning to trust yourself. Oh my goodness. Self-trust matters so much. One of the most damaging effects of early trauma is the loss of trust, particularly trust in yourself. You may have been taught to doubt your own feelings and instincts, especially if the people around you minimized or denied your experiences, didn't believe you, for example, if you did say something. So rebuilding trust with yourself is essential for creating healthy relationships with others. So here's some ways that you can rebuild self-trust. The first is to honor your boundaries. This is not a little one though. It is huge. And so I want you to start small. When you feel uncomfortable or drained, for example, just give yourself permission to say no. If somebody asks something from you, just say no. No, thank you. Each time you respect your own boundaries, you're going to strengthen your sense of self-trust. So that's one practice that you can engage in to just start, and you're going to build awareness here too. You're going to feel the resistance you'll think that say no and then not say no. Either way, it doesn't matter. What you're doing is you're building your awareness. So you can journal about this as well, like what stopped you from setting a boundary, what stopped you from honoring your own energy and saying no. So the second part of this is to listen to your intuition, which is really, you need to, understand, tune into the subtle feelings in your body, right? So you'll even know that you have a boundary that needs to be set. So this is whether it's, dis-ease around someone or excitement about an opportunity. Really trust that these signals matter, even if they don't make any logical sense right away. So when you learn to trust yourself, you naturally become more discerning about who to trust in your relationships. And again, take it slow. Just take it slow. And even if you don't do anything to change anything right now, simply becoming aware of these things, aware of the impact that this is having on your relationships, aware of what your boundaries are, aware that you have an idea, thought, an intuitive thought inside that tells you yes or no about something. Even if you don't act on it right now, eventually you will need to act on it. But even if you don't act on it right now, what you're doing is you're bringing awareness to even that resistance. Okay, so it's all supporting you in getting free of the impact. The next thing is to really surround yourself with safe, supportive people. And healing doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in the presence of people who make you feel safe, seen, and accepted. Healthy relationships offer a new experience of connection where love isn't conditional and where your emotions are honored. So the safe relationships are an essential aspect of getting free of the impact of abuse. You get to try things out. You get to say no to them and trust that they're going to be there for you, for example, right? And so some ways that you can find supportive people, and I'm going to suggest that you do seek out at least have a couple, two or three supportive people on this journey. So you can seek out individuals who listen without judgment and trust your intuition if it to recognize that and set a boundary if they're not doing that. Right? So it's all going to get interrelated to in or integrated together. So Seeking individuals who listen without judgment. It could be a trusted friend, it could be a coach, it could be a therapist. That part doesn't matter. But surround yourself with people who respect your boundaries and validate your feelings. And then create new space for, or create space for new connections. So you could join communities or support groups and just make sure that they align with your values and what, you know, that it use your intuition now to choose some of those communities. So this would be another area here. And one of the key insights here in this section is really that healing is a lot easier when you are surrounded by people who allow you to be fully yourself. No pretending, no performing. So this is, yes, exciting stuff here. I love it. So when you know, we talked about maybe getting a coach or a therapist, but definitely consider professional support because trauma is complex and the patterns it creates can feel overwhelming to address alone. Therapists and trauma-informed coaches are trained to help you uncover unconscious patterns and develop healthier ways of relating. So they really are key. So let's see. Some of the approaches that I would recommend would be, of course, trauma-informed therapy. This is becoming more and more mainstream. More and more therapists are using this type of therapy. And therapists trained in trauma work with the understanding that your behavior is shaped by past experiences, not character flaws. There's nothing wrong with you. You were hurt. You had a trauma. You were abused. But that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. And, you know, in terms of, you know, you being flawed, you aren't. Another approach is EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And this approach helps to process the traumatic memories so they're no longer. They don't trigger that emotional distress. So that approach can be very helpful. And any type of somatic healing practice, because trauma is stored in the body. And somatic therapies help you connect or reconnect with your body in a safe, empowering way. Early on, if you have trouble being in your body, so there's a dissociation or a disconnection of your body, that place of being in your body when the trauma happened was a brilliant thing that our body, your body automatically does to protect yourself. So in that situation, being disconnected from your body is safe or safer or was. Safer. But today, reconnecting with your body is going to be one of the pathways to create safety in your adult relationships. Being deeply connected with your body is going to lead to the connection with your intuition. So it's like I said, it's all going to be integrated together. And it's really important to recognize if you have any resistance to professional support. Seeking professional help is not a sign of weakness. It's actually an incredibly courageous step towards reclaiming your life and your relationships. So consider that as a definitely as part of your process of healing from early trauma. You know, we talk about reframing your story, but I like to say it in a way that is more like telling the truth about what happened, because so much of our story is held inside of a perspective where we've made ourselves wrong or shamed ourselves. So the abuse you experienced is a chapter in your story, but it's not the whole story. Healing happens when we reclaim our narrative and when we move from identifying as a victim of the past and start seeing ourselves as survivors who have the power to thrive. And some ways to reclaim your narrative. The first is always, I'm always going to bring you back to awareness. And part of that is to acknowledge what happened without minimizing or denying the impact that it had. At the same time, recognize that you are way more than, you're not your trauma. Your trauma is a part, the trauma is a part of what happened to you, but you are not your trauma. So you can write your story. This could be a really powerful writing experience, healing experience. Write your story from a place of empowerment. So you can ask questions as you're telling your story. You can ask yourself, who do I want to be moving forward? How can I use, what strengths have I developed because of this experience? Because of my early experiences, I guarantee you, if you ask and you look, you just need to become aware of what they are. I'm going to say resilience is in there and strength is in there, courage is in there, all of it, right? So, what strengths have I developed because of my experience? And then ask, what kinds of relationships do I want to create? So, here are some questions. You can ask yourself many more, but what do I want to, who do I want to be moving forward? What strengths have I developed because of my experiences? What kind of relationships do I want to create? As I write in my book, Freedom from Shame, I write, healing is about creating a new story, not one that denies the past, but one that reclaims power in the present. So when you rewrite your story from this place of where you are today and all that you've gained and all of who you are today, you become the author of your life instead of the captive of your past. So these steps are not about perfection, they're about progress. Healing's a journey. And each small shift brings you closer to the relationships that you want, both with yourself and with others. And it's never too late to begin, but begin now. It's never too late to begin to learn new ways of relating and to create the love and connection that you deserve. It's never too late, but start now. Don't, there's no reason to wait. If you feel called to explore this journey further, then I encourage you to seek support. Whether through a trusted friend, a coach, or a therapist. And remember, you are not alone on this path. There is hope and there is freedom beyond the patterns of the past. You know, it's also helpful to understand that the patterns that we carry into adulthood aren't just personal, they're part of a larger story of how trauma shapes development. Researchers on ACEs shows that the more adverse experiences we have in childhood, and that's what ACEs is, adverse childhood experiences. So the more adverse experiences we have in childhood, the harder it becomes to build healthy relationships in adults. So that's what the research shows. But the same research also gives us hope. It says that healing is possible when we cultivate positive experiences and surround ourselves with nurturing relationships. So both are true. And trauma-informed care is about creating those safe spaces, both within ourselves and in our communities, where we feel supported and empowered to heal. So that's the good news. And so let me just share, I want to leave you with this. That you're not alone. As I've already said, it's never too late to create the relationships that you deserve, relationships that are your birthright. Healing from early trauma is a journey, but it's one that leads to freedom, joy, and authentic connection. So if you've recognized yourself in today's episode at all, then I invite you to take one small step toward healing. Whether that's journaling, some of the other things that we've talked about, reaching out to a trusted friend, or scheduling a session with somebody, every single step counts. And if you're ready to dive deeper into this work, my book, Freedom from Shame, offers fantastic tools and insights to help you on your journey so you don't have to carry the weight of the past alone. And so let's just, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And if this episode resonated with you, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. You never know who might be struggling silently. And you can also join me in my upcoming online talk. We're going to explore these themes even further and discuss how to build healthy, nourishing relationships after trauma. You can check this out at leilareyes.com, LeilaReyes.com, and feel free to come to one of these online talks where I'll share more. Stay connected with me on social media for updates and resources. And remember, healing's possible. From the past, freedom from the past is within reach, and you are inherently worthy of the love and joy that can come with it. So thank you for being here today and listening to just a few of the ways that early childhood trauma can impact your adult relationships. And if you kind of like use some of these little tools to start to move yourself forward a little bit, that would be really, really fabulous. So until next time, be kind to yourself and take care of your heart. And I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you for joining me on this episode of From Trauma to True Love. I honor your courage for being here, taking steps towards the love and connection that you truly desire. I've been there too, stuck in painful patterns, longing for love but unsure how to create it in a way that felt safe, real, and lasting. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. If you're ready to explore what's been holding you back and discover what's truly possible for your relationships, I would love to support you. Visit Leila Reyes, LeilaReyes, Leila Reyes, and schedule a call today. We'll take the first step together toward the deep, meaningful love that you were born to have. I can't wait to connect with you. Until next time, take good care of yourself and know that real, lasting love is within your reach.